Okay, let's get started, please. All right, have a seat if you will. I'm going to start by telling you of a dream that I had recently. I pictured a group of people coming from all over the United States of America, even some from foreign countries, coming to a very beautiful, I think it was a campus, a place that was set aside for this group especially. It seemed as if it were opening days, not all the time, or dreams as clear as what you'd like for them to be. It seemed like as if it were opening days of something big that was about to happen. They were clean people, carrying Bibles, separated, kind of people that we would have in this room. There were people from all walks of life, all aged people. I'm sure it was a college, a lot like this college. I don't know why, but on this given day, there seemed to be some older people there. From what I can remember, they would have more than likely been what we'd consider alumni, people who've graduated in the past, maybe bringing their children to that school. I'm not sure, but there was a variety of people. And they'd all met in a big, beautiful, comfortable auditorium. There was a spirit of excitement in the air. Suddenly, the crowd went crazy. They stood to their feet from the balcony to the front of the building like a big wave. Everybody just stood to their feet, and they began to cheer. Some very important people stepped through a door onto a platform. They sang a bombastic song, a congregational song like you've never heard sung before. My dream, there was someone that seemed to get their attention and that they were cheering for, but I couldn't get a good shot at his face. Seemed to be very attractive, though. This individual was, if it's right, was beautiful. Everyone sat down. A special was sung from the platform. The keynote speaker stepped up to the pulpit. And when he first stepped to the pulpit again, to me, was very attractive seemingly, but in a moment had transformed himself into the ugliest, most vile, nastiest looking thing I've ever seen. It was Satan himself. At first the people were cheering, then they began to cry. They began to weep. They were terrified at that moment. He said, "Let me read to you my favorite scripture." It was Satan. And he began to read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Don't turn to it, I'll read. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The people stood and they began to try to run from that building, but suddenly from every door came the imps of hell and they were trapped there. In a moment they began to lead this fine group of people toward a dark hallway that led to hell. My question to you today is this: were you in my dream? Were you in my dream? Many times I've wept thinking that I saw you there. Don't go to hell. From Hiles Anderson College. Don't go to hell. From Hiles Anderson College. And so what's hell like? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9 tells us that the worst part about hell is that you'll be separated from God for all eternity. But because the unspiritual mind cannot grasp how rotten and how terrible it'll be to be away from God, God goes on to appeal to the physical person, the flesh, to tell them what hell will be like. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4 tells us that hell is pure darkness, so dark and heavy that you're chained by its weight. In Luke 16, we're familiar with a few verses there that tells us of a rich man and a beggar, both who died. The beggar went to a place of comfort, but the rich man went to this place called hell. He woke up in hell, and that's how fast it'll happen. In verse 23 there, the Bible tells us he was in torment. The Bible tells us he could see. The Bible tells us that he cried. The Bible tells us that he wanted water but could find none, tormented by an unquenched thirst. The Bible tells us that he has a memory. The Bible tells us that he was captive. The Bible tells us that he said, "Send somebody to my family. I don't want them to come to this place." The Bible teaches us that hell is a place where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is referred to 162 times in the New Testament, 70 of which came straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Throughout the Bible, hell is taught. And even though people do not believe in hell in this life, they'll believe in the next life. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 22, the Bible tells us hell is where the anger of God is kindled. In Proverbs 15, 24, it says hell is beneath us. Proverbs 7, 27 says hell is a chamber of death. Matthew 23, 33 says hell is a place of damnation. Job 11, 8, hell is deep. Job 26, 6, hell is a place of destruction. Psalm 55, 15, hell is down. Isaiah 5:14, hell hath enlarged itself. Matthew 25:46, hell is eternal. Matthew 5:22, hell is a place of fire. Proverbs 27:20, hell is never full. Matthew 16:18, hell is guarded by gates. Ezekiel 31, verse 17, hell is where the heathen go. The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 86, verse 13, hell is the lowest place. Matthew 7:13, hell is a place where there'll be a multitude. Luke 16:24, no water in hell. Psalm 116, verse number 3, there will be pain in hell. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 15, hell is a pit. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, hell was prepared for the devil. Matthew 24:46, hell is a place of punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, hell is a place separated from God. 2 Samuel 22:6, the Bible tells us that hell is a place of sorrows. Luke 16:23, it's a place of torment. Mark 9:43, it's a place of unquenchable fire. Psalm 9:17, it's the home of the wicked. And Mark 9:44, it is where the worm dieth not. Hell's in the Bible and it's real. But hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you'll be an intruder there. Hell was formed as a super torture chamber for non-human beings. Your body and the substance that you're made of, your conscience and every part of you was not made for hell. It was not made for hell, and hell was not made for the pettiness of your body. It's a super torture chamber. The greatest enemy of God. Hell was formed not for humans. It's far too terrible for human beings. Rust cannot break through the padlocks on hell's gates. Written with a fiery pen on the walls of hell, like we see graffiti written on bridges, are the words forever. And they speak to you forever. 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 You'll glance and you'll see the graffiti, and all you'll see is forever. 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 forever, as if it were written by a pit of fire. Forever. Hell's real. Who in this room could be going to hell? It could be anyone. I don't know. It could be someone on this platform. I don't know. It could be somebody in the faculty and staff section. I don't know. By the way, if you can sleep while someone preaches on hell, you need a stirring of your soul.
Come on.
Where? Where is this person that could be going to hell? Well, they could be in this section.
Yes.
In this section, in this section. Here, here, in the balcony. Or even up the hallway listening. See, the only person that I can testify for is me. I'm saved. I know that I am. I try to live my life realizing I'm the only person I know that's saved. I've got to get Jesus across to everybody. Only two people know whether you're going to hell or not. You and God. Judas went to hell. He heard Jesus preach. He heard the very best, the prince of preachers, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, preach, and Judas rejected. Judas brushed elbows with the best. Judas was on the board of the fundamentalist conference of his day and died and went to hell. Cain heard the voice of God. Cain heard very God and went to the devil's hell, and he burns there today. Matthew 23:25, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of exhortation and excess." Oh, it could be an administrator that's going to hell today. It could be a faculty member that's going to hell today. It could be a staff member that's going to hell today. It may be a visitor that's going to hell today. It could be a senior or a junior or a sophomore or a freshman or a man or a woman. It may be a married person. It may be a single person. Maybe you used to be a bus kid. Maybe you're a graduate from the Christian school. Maybe you're a preacher's son or a preacher's daughter. Maybe you're an evangelist's son or daughter. Maybe you're a seminary student. Maybe you're a deacon's son. Maybe you're a missionary child. Maybe you're the best soul winner on this campus, but you're on your way to hell. Is that you? Who could it be? I don't know. It could be a preacher. And a preacher in hell is a trophy on the devil's mantle. Matthew 23:27-28, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, of all uncleanness. Even so you outwardly appear righteous unto me, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity, unsaved." You may be fooling the preacher today. You may fool your mom today. You may fool your dad today. You may fool your roommates today. You may fool me today. But you won't fool the Holy Spirit of God. You can't fool Him. When He's not sealed within, He knows it. You won't fool Him today. He knows if you're unsaved. He knows if you're on your way to hell. I believe there are people in hell today that sat where you sit. There are people that have been through these pews that burn in hell today. Why would you be going to hell, though? From Hiles Anderson College? Well, the reason anybody goes to hell is because they reject Christ. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Always. But you do have to get saved. There are some reasons why people don't get saved. For instance, some of you will not be saved today. You need to be, but you won't be because of your pride. Oh, you look religious, but you're not saved. You have everybody convinced you're saved, but you're not saved. Your pride will not allow you to be saved because you're afraid of the embarrassment among your peers and even in front of some of your parents and family. You'd rather go to hell. You say, but I'm at Hiles Anderson College, but you're lost. But I'm a teacher here, but you're lost. I'm a bus captain, but you're lost. I'm a Bible club leader, but you're lost. I'm from a preacher's family, but you're lost. But I'm in a sailor ministry, but you're lost. I'm a Sunday school teacher, but you're lost. But Brother Owens, I surrendered to full-time service, but you're lost. I'm a soul winner, but you're lost. And you've played the part too long. But some of you will never be saved because of your pride. And the part you've been playing, you'll get your Emmy in hell. Some of you will not be saved because someone else's religion. Some of you, someone told you you were saved. Nobody knows if you're saved but you. Somebody told you. Say, my mom and dad said I was when I was 4, but I don't remember a thing about it. Please don't take a chance with your soul. You have to know. Moms and dads cannot get assurance of salvation for their children. Some of you say, I've just always been saved. That's too long. Nobody's just always been saved. You'll die and go to hell because of false religion. Someone taught you false doctrine about salvation. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior to go to heaven. But there are those that will add to the simple gospel. They'll say you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and make Him Lord. And that's a lie straight out of the devil's hell. I think after you get saved, you ought to try to make Him Lord. But until then, you need a Savior. They say you must repent of all your sins. My friend, if you know all your sins, I need to see the nail prints in your hands. Nobody understands the depth and the holiness of Almighty God. Someone said, get baptized. That's a lie. That won't get you to heaven. Maybe a sincere soul winner said to you one day, say this prayer, it'll save you. Let me preach. Romans 10:9 says, and shalt believe in thine heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And what you believe is articulated. It's spoken. Your mouth is saying what your heart believes. You don't just say it with your mouth. I was a young man, 16 years old. Somebody told me about Jesus Christ. Said, pray this prayer, you'll be saved. I prayed it. I didn't believe what I was praying. Didn't even understand what I was praying. Then I started learning how to win others to Christ. I wanted to do it right. I got to realizing while trying to win others, I was not even saved myself. I stopped. I said, Lord, save me. I believe it. It's in my heart. Very same prayer. It originated in a different place. That's all. Some of you won't get saved because you're just too good. You just cannot believe that God would send you to hell. You're lying to yourself. There will be virgins that will burn in hell. There will be people in hell that have more Bible memorized than the men on this platform right now. They'll wish they had not. Oh, will they be haunted with the knowledge that they've compiled and a Savior that they did not receive. Now, when could you go to this hell? Could be today, September 12, 1996. It may be that Mercy's appointment book holds no more time for you today. Do or die. How many times has God tried to save you because of your pride, because of your religion you rejected? If you're having a hard time looking at me, I'd advise you to look right this way. Look right this way. How many times have you rejected the God of this book and the Savior of this book? Is this the last chance? is the last time God's going to let you reject him and mock him and make fun and play on in your religious costume? Is this the finale?
You have no assurance of another breath. The unsaved at death will be in hell before the undertaker puts you in that body bag.
Hell will be full of people who plan to get saved tomorrow. But tomorrow never came. By the way, God tries the hardest to get you saved right before you die, while the devil fights the hardest right before you die.
Some fine lady in this room will be in hell, but she'll be the most modestly dressed person there. By the way, after hearing this message, if you leave here unsaved today, I hold little hope. What do you want? How bad does God have to squeeze your heart?
How hard does he have to try to bring you to your unholy senses? There's a hell! What more can he do?
Maybe God sent me today so we can keep you out of hell. Well, where should we be saved? Where should this take place? Kyle Anderson College is a good place. Wherever the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and conscience, you better respond quick. You better just respond. For Saul, it was on the Damascus Road. You didn't have to be in a church service.
For a thief, it was on the cross hanging by Jesus. Wherever the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you better get saved.
Don't wait until you get home. You may die on the way.
Well, I'll wait until I get into church.
You're in church. Some of you had better get saved while you're still in the pew, because if you make it to the pulpit, you'll probably go to hell from there. How often do you hear of preachers that get saved? There's some lost ones. How often do you hear about it? How often do you hear of preachers' wives getting saved? There's some lost ones. But what is it? Their pride after standing before the people, they'd rather go to hell than admit, I'm a lost preacher.
There are many lost preachers.
I think many times that's why so many of them get off into false doctrine, no leading of the Holy Spirit from the inside. The worst place in the world to go to hell from is probably Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church. When you stand at the great white throne judgment, at the judgment for the lost, the intensity of your hell will be determined there. There are different degrees of hell. I've often wondered if the degree of your hell will be based on the number of opportunities and the intensity of the opportunity that you had to be saved. Now, if that's the case, I'd hate to go to hell after this service. I'd hate to go to hell from First Baptist Church of Hammond, or go to hell from Hiles Anderson College, the salvation capital of the world. I'd hate to go to hell from here.
Where are you supposed to be saved? Here, now.
George Whitfield was a preacher on a worst scholarship program in a college when he got saved. Look what God did with the golden voice of George Whitfield.
Wesley was saved while in college studying theology.
How do you get saved? You know, you realize that everyone's a sinner. By the way, bad sinner. There's a price on that sin. Death and hell, the separation from God for all eternity. And Jesus, the virgin-born, sinless Son of God, died for you, was buried for you, and was resurrected for you. And he made it possible for you to go to heaven someday. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I walked into this room today. What you did not see, I saw. The minute I walked in, Satan himself called a meeting. He said, I know what will be preached.
He said to the imps of hell, what will we do to stop it? Quickly, quickly, we've got 30 minutes. What will we do to stop somebody from getting saved? One imp raised his hand and he said, I've got it. Let's tell them the Bible is not true. Satan said, it's too late. It's too late. That won't work. Another said, hey, let's tell him that Jesus was not pure. Satan said, that's not it. That won't work. Another said, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. Hey, let's keep him from paying attention. And the devil said, it's too late. He's got their attention. The Holy Spirit's working. And he raised his hand. He said, I've got it. What is it? He said, let's tell him to do it another day. And Satan said, that's it. That's it. That's it. Just wait. Just wait. Procrastinate. Just put it off. Don't go to hell from Hiles Anderson College. No matter how many times I try to convince you you're saved, it will never make up for you knowing you're saved. Never will. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Brother Smith, if you'll come. No coincidence today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, talk to no one, bump no one, plan nothing but to listen at this moment. I believe souls are in the balances today. Because of you, somebody may end up in hell, and it may be you. This is the question. Who here would say, preacher, I need to settle this thing once and for all. And I'm going to do it today. Will you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. There's hands, more hands, more hands. Who else? There's another, another, another. Oh, lots of them. Who else? Who else? Put it up and keep it up. Come on. I'm going to do it. I'm going to settle. There's another hand and another. Yes, and another. Who else? Put it up. Yes. Yes. Who else? You say, that's me. That's me. Put it up. What are you waiting on? Oh, you're going to wait till another time? Who else? Who else? Preacher, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to trust Christ today. I'm not going another moment. Good, I see that hand. Who else? Who else? Who else? Good, there's another hand and another. Who else? You can put those hands down. Here's another and another. Who else? Preacher, that's me. That's me. I need to settle it. I need to settle it. I need to settle it. I want you right there in your seat right now. I don't have to know. You need to settle this thing once and for all. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And you walk out of here on your way to heaven. Let me warn you. If you can go through this service and walk out that back door unsaved, although God would still save you, I wonder if you would ever again be so close to asking Him. Is there somebody else that would join us? And you'll raise your hands and say, preacher, that's me. I need to receive Christ. Put your hands up quickly. That's me. No accident here. It's not an accident that something's happening inside you. How about it? Who else? Quickly now. Quickly. Good. There's another hand. Who else? Good. I see that hand. There's another and another and another. Don't fight it. Who else? Yes, there's another hand. Who else?
I'd like for everyone to stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you raised your hand this morning, or if you did not and should have, I want you to slip from your place and come down to the front of this building. I'll have a faculty member of the same sex as you talk to you and make sure that you know that you're on your way to heaven. I'll ask Brother Smith to play. Thank you.